All right, guys, I like to ask, I always like to start by asking this question. What book are we studying? Gospel of John. All right. What chapter are we in? John. This is love. Sharp tonight. I like it. John chapter 10, guys, is correct. That's where we are. And tonight we're going to key in on verses 28 through 31, but we want to get a little bit of a running start here, and we'll start in verse 22. So, Levi, if I can have you start reading, and as we just go around, if you feel comfortable reading the next verse as it comes, we'll go John 10, 22 through 31. If you don't feel comfortable, just give your neighbor a bump. Gerald and Janice obviously aren't going to be reading out loud, so I don't think Ricky, you read. So, Carolyn, if you feel comfortable after Josh, go ahead and jump in on that. So, okay, John 10, beginning verse 22.
Let's see, Chris, give me, I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
Sorry. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Carolyn, do you want to get verse 24?
The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly."
Jesus answered him, "I told you when you cannot believe, the works that I do in my Father's name, these testify to me.
If you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep.
And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.
My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand.
I am the Father.
The Jews picked up stones again to stone him.
Okay. All right, so guys, the context of this, I mean, just remembering from John chapter 9, rolling right into John chapter 10, we have the Pharisees who are just, you know, sure that, I mean, Jesus healed the blind man. And with that blind man understanding who Jesus is, he recognizes who he is, and he falls down and worships him. And then you have some Pharisees who are kind of hanging on and have seen this, and they say, well, we're not blind too, are we? And Jesus calls them out, and he just says, yeah, because you guys say you see, your sin remains. Guys, this is a basic principle of Scripture. Nobody going to be able to walk into the presence of God, holy and blameless, by their own merits. Nobody's going to knock on the door on that day of judgment and say, I deserve to be in. And anybody that's trying to say here that they do is kidding themselves. And that's what Jesus is saying. Just as a blind person couldn't be healed apart from Jesus, neither is And so Jesus takes that and he transitions from that straight into some conversations about the door of the sheep, about the good shepherd, etc. So I'm getting a little distracted here. But there's, and so we found out all these things about the good shepherd and the things that he does. The good shepherd, guys, he looks for the lost sheep. Hey, VBS this week. Let's see, who's a good VBS person? Talia, I'm going to pick on you for a second. We talked about a parable that Jesus told in another place about the lost sheep. How many sheep were there to begin with in that parable? 100. How many were lost? One. And what does the shepherd do? What does the shepherd do for the one who was lost, Talia? Go ahead, answer. You can answer this one too. Yeah, he goes and looks for it. So the good shepherd cares about the one sheep, doesn't he? He looks for the lost sheep. And then from what we've seen from John 10 as we've worked through this, the good shepherd calls each sheep by name. Guys, think about this for a second. Jesus is making a point as he goes through this. There is a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. God knows his own, and God's own know him, don't they? So you think about this for a second. Every one of us personally, God knows us. God knows everything about us. He loves us, and He calls us by name. Do you understand what a privilege it is to be His sheep? He leads the sheep. And then He also talks about His willingness to die for the sheep. Guys, do you ever slow down and really contemplate Christ's death, His willingness to die for us in order to rescue us? Might depend a little bit on what kind of mood I'm in, but there's times when I start thinking about that and, you know, the tears start running down your eyes. Because we were lost. I was lost. And Christ cared enough to call me and to die for me. Now, He contrasts that with the Pharisees, who are all the fake shepherds, aren't they? He calls them the hirelings in one of these. And the hireling, when the wolf comes, what's the hireling do? He flees. Why? Because he's not worth it to him. I told this, whatever group, a few weeks ago when this came up, when I worked at JCPenney selling shoes, one of my favorite things back then, actually, a little spice up the day, is if there was a shoplifter that came and they would head out the door and I get to go run after him. I liked that, man. It was fun, you know, little break out of the monotony of selling shoes. But, you know, there was a couple interesting experiences. My buddy Andy and I, one time, we took off after this guy. And at some point, the guy turns around with a knife, and we just decide, you know, it ain't worth it. If you're not the owner of the sheep, when the wolf comes, you just don't care enough. Not worth it. But if you're the owner of these sheep, and you have a relationship with them, you care about them, and you... then you're willing to die for Him. And Jesus was, and He proved that. And so there's a principle here for all of us that, you know, anybody, if we're going to lead in any way, you know, Jesus showed tremendous humility as the Good Shepherd Himself. He only did what He saw the Father was doing. He had relationships. He knew His own. His own knew Him. And His sacrifice, His willingness to lay down the life for the sheep. And so that's kind of to catch us up here a little bit. And let's talk about the sheep part of it, because that's what we are. Let's just work into this a little bit. From chapter 10, verse 3, I'm just going to read a few lines here. I want you to notice in chapter 10, verse 3, the sheep hear His voice. You know, there are a lot of voices in this world. A lot of stuff you can listen to. But you ever been in a foreign country and you don't understand the language? Anybody ever been in that? Okay. So then when you're in a foreign country and you don't understand the language, but then you hear the language of your native tongue, English, for most, I think all of us, you hear English, don't you? It sticks out to you, doesn't it? Even in the midst of whatever else, it's like boom. Like hearing your name, exactly. Or like a coach, you can have. It's interesting to me, my boys in their sports. They don't hear anything from me as a dad yelling at them. You don't want on the court, but man, their coach, whoever their coach is, they're trained to hear that voice. Guys, for us as the sheep, we're trained to hear Christ's voice, aren't we? So the sheep hear His voice. There's another one, chapter 10, verse 4. The very last line of this says they know His voice. They hear His voice and they know it. They know who this is. I know this is a really general question, but let's ask it anyways to make sure. How do we know the voice of Christ? I mean, sometimes, do you guys ever have thoughts in your own head and you wonder a little bit about, is that right or is that wrong? Sometimes we talk about a sixth sense, but you ever notice your sixth sense isn't always right?
We have to compare what we think is His will with what it says.
So how do we hear His voice?
Study His.
Exactly. This is the way we hear His voice. And anybody tells you something different, if you're a sheep of the Good Shepherd, you don't hear the voice of the hirelings, do you? you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. So sheep, they know his voice. In verse 16, again, it says, they shall hear his voice. In chapter 10, verse 5, I like this. A stranger they won't follow. Why? Because they don't know the voice of strangers. You can't even take this as if, you know, you're, I got a boxer dog. One of my two dogs is a boxer, and he can, if he knows you, he's ridiculously friendly. Too friendly. I mean, he'll lick you to death and love you and do it. But I don't have a mute button. I have some rough neighbors. I'll just put it that way. Okay? Don't really care what they're doing over there. But, you know, there's been a couple times Bosco got out when those rough neighbors were, and he scared them out of their wits, the hair on the back of his, and I was thankful for that, to be honest with you. Those guys aren't breaking into my house with Bosco around. He doesn't know their voice. And what he knows about their voice is he going to... Okay. Well, sheep aren't going to hear they're not going to follow the voice of a stranger because they don't recognize that voice. So, you know, bottom line is Jesus says here in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Let's see. Who's a young Ava? If your mom gives you some chores to do, does she expect you to listen and to pay attention to what she says?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever maybe not quite been paying perfect attention when she gave you your chores and either she asked you later why it wasn't done or maybe you had to come back and say, Mom, could you tell me again? Has that ever happened to you? I figured it probably had. It happened to me a lot and it's happened to my kids a lot. I know. But, so you know, Jesus says the importance of listening. There's an emphasis in Scripture about here. There's some parables that Jesus tells, and he kind of sums it up and says, he who has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. You got ears to hear? Let him hear. How about the book of Revelation? You guys ever notice those letters to the churches? Every single one of those letters to the churches in the first few chapters closes with this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. There's an expectation of God, of His people, that we would listen, that we would hear. I've been in... all of us have been students before. Any, you guys ever been in boring lectures and you just tune it out? I remember this class I had... In chemical engineering, it was materials science class. And it was the wrong time of day, you know, right after lunch, you're tired, and it was boring. And there was a few times I woke up in my own drool. I hate to admit that. And then something a little more recent. We have to do this, you know, special water testing here because we're on a cistern and we have enough people, and especially with the school, we have to get it tested and all this. So I went and took my, rather than paying somebody $170 every month to come and test that water, I'm like, I'm smart enough to figure out, I'll go to class and figure it out. So I got my certification and I test. But then there's this renewal certification every couple of years and you have to go and you take all. So they don't care what class you go to. You just have to have X amount of hours. So rather than going and paying somewhere on something that was relevant to me, I was like, okay, there's a class here in town. It's my 10 hours or whatever. I'll go to it. And I started paying attention at first. And then as soon as I figured out I didn't have to pass the test for that thing, all you had to do was sign your paperwork, and they pass it around at the end of the day. Next thing you know, I'm on my phone, texting my wife, checking out Facebook, looking up stuff on the internet. I don't care. There's an expectation, guys, from the shepherd that we care what he's talking about. And there is going to be a final test, isn't there? He has an ear. Let him hear. And then, and not only do they hear, but they do what? When the sheep hear and listen, then what do they do? What's Jesus say here in verse 27?
They follow me.
They follow me. Hey, how do we know that a person's a Christian?
By the fruits.
That's a pretty good answer. By the fruits. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, just real quickly. Do you think it's fair to... God said some very specific things about salvation, hasn't he? Lisa just got immersed into Christ here on Sunday. Okay. So now, guess what? Lisa's a sheep. Nice. Don't be a bad sheep, right? You can bat, but don't be bad. So, okay, she's a sheep, and she's listening, and... Okay, just when you're immersed into Christ, guys, you become a sheep. The scripture is really clear about that. But the test at the end isn't what the Lord doesn't say whether or not you've been immersed. If you haven't been immersed, you're not in. Scripture is clear about that. But the test is something more than that, isn't it? Look at Romans chapter 8. Puts it in a little different terms here. Romans 8, verse 14. Kendra, could I have you? Yeah, can I have you read that?
Okay. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. How do you know if somebody's being led? What's the acid test of leadership?
Followers.
They're followers. So if we're being led by the Spirit of God, guess what we're doing? We're following Him. This is a simple test, guys, really, throughout Scripture. Jesus' sheep, not only do they hear His voice, but they follow Him. Lots of different ways the Bible says it. James says it really well. We don't want to just be hearers of the Word, but what?
Doers.
Okay. So one of the things I want all of us to consider every time we ever read our Bible and every time we ever come here, and tonight in particular, since I get to lead this, I want you to think about what are you going to do to be a doer of the Word this week. How does that translate from, like, when you come here and we all talk, and I'm talking mostly tonight, try to give an opportunity for some participation from you guys in a second. But what's this? What?
Study this.
Study this. And then?
Share it.
Share it and follow it. Do it. Right? Do it. Because if we don't do it, but we try to share it, how's that work?
Poorly.
It was really... I like kids because they're so easy to figure out. VBS, man, we had... I've been doing the 9 to 12-year-olds. And, you know, they were really good in my class the first day, and then I got some reports afterwards that some of these 9 to 12-year-olds weren't being so nice to each other on others on the next step. So could I please maybe work that into my lesson? Okay, that's pretty easy. The next day was the lost sheep, and then today was the Good Samaritan. Okay? Hey, who are we going to be nice to? But you can go tell, you know, these kids, they can go say, oh yeah, I went to VBS, and I did. You can share all the stuff you learned, but if you don't do it, if you aren't the Good Samaritan, if you don't treat somebody good that's laying there hurt, you can share it all you want, nobody cares. Right? So we won't be doers of the Word. So the Lord knows His sheep also. Okay. I'm going to kind of skip over that part a little bit. We know that. Bottom line is, guys, we got the Lord who knows us. How many? There's a bunch of ladies in this class tonight. How many of you ladies? Oh, I guess not. I'll ask the ladies. How many ladies anticipate with great eagerness when you get an opportunity to go on a date with your husband? You like that time? Ricky, come on, Jennifer, give me a... Yeah, okay. Okay, so why is that? Because you get some special time to actually talk, just the two of you, and to catch up and to figure out where you're at, be on the same page. Do you understand, guys, the Lord... The Lord, He looks forward to our prayer time with Him? He looks forward to that. He knows each one of us. I look forward to prayer time, but sometimes I don't think about the fact that He does too. He looks forward to that communication with Him. And He promises in verse 28, He says, I give eternal life to them. What's eternal life? You guys aren't, I'm doing all the talking. Somebody raise your hand. Tell them, give me a good description of eternal life. It's not that complicated.
Lasts forever.
Lasts forever. I keep talking about these kids. I was asking these kids today how long they expected to live. And I couldn't believe. We got everywhere from 75 up to 120. It's like, wow. But most of them were right around 100. They expected to live till 100. I'm like, okay, I don't think I won't make it that long. But then we talk a little about eternity. You guys, 100. That's nothing. It's a vapor. Appears for a little while. Eternal life lasts forever. Good job, Mrs. Love. What does life mean to you, though? Like, realistically, would you want to... I don't want to live to 120. Got to be honest with you. Here. I have no interest in that. I mean, if the Lord keeps me alive till then, I'll have a good attitude and I'll work for Him up to my last day. But I just... My mom died at 64 and I miss her like crazy, but I wouldn't mind. 64. Why do I not necessarily, and me, I don't know if you guys are the same way. Anybody else not too keen on living till 120? Show me your hands if you. Why don't I want to be here forever? Why don't you want to be here forever? What?
This world is not my home.
Yeah, this world is not my home. That's true. I figured that was an 8-year-old kid. I was like, God, I know I don't want to go to hell. That's not an option for me. So whatever. Please, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do, but I don't want to go to hell. But I don't want to live forever. 8 years old, I remember that very distinctly. I do not want to live forever. So realistically, this is the kind of conversation. So basically, God, if you want to just kind of, when you come again, if you just kind of want to leave me in the grave there and pass right over me and I'm dead for, I'm fine with that. Why would an 8-year-old kid think that? Because already at 8 years old, I figured out the things I liked the most still got old fast. Still got tiring, still, the end of the snowboarding day, you're cold, the end of, you know, whatever it is. The second time you have shrimp, it's not as good as the first time, you know, right? So when Jesus promises eternal life, what's so good about this? Somebody help me out here. What'd you say?
You're with Him.
You're with Him. Josh, you got any input on that?
I suppose if you, you know, I always think of it as God as the Spirit, right? So you're always surrounded by the Spirit of, you know, it's always Spirit, or, you know what I mean? It's always that way.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get old, it doesn't fade, it doesn't go away, there is no morning, night, it's constant.
Yeah, when you're surrounded by the Spirit and that's all that there is. It's all good, isn't it? I was thinking about, you guys said this world. Yeah, the world stinks. Scripture calls it this present evil age. Darkness. A lot of bad stuff. But you know what? There's still quite a bit of good, even in this bad place. You know why? Because we've been made in the image of God. And we still, to whatever degree people haven't totally turned away from, there's some good there because the image of God. You think about hell. You know what hell is? Absence of God. Totally separated, cut off from God. You know what heaven is? Totally in fellowship with Him. Now, the older I got, the more I grew. I don't know much about heaven, but I know God's going to be there. I know His people are going to be there. And that perfected. All you guys that I like, even the ones I have to pray to like, we're all going to be... And you same, hey, same here, right? We're going to be perfected on that. God is there and we're there. The heaven's going to be a great, eternal life is going to be a good place. And really, Josh Trendy even touched on this. The fact of the matter is, that doesn't necessarily start there. We recognize that fully there. But it actually starts as soon as God puts His Spirit in us. We start getting a flavor of that, a preview. The more that Spirit grows in us, and we're, the more life we have within us. And the more we long for that in its fullness. So that's a great promise, really. The gift of eternal life. What did you say? Yeah. That's a good question. It's good. It's a good question. The scripture does use the word fruit for a reason, though. There is a little time delay, but you stay with it, Lisa. Okay? It's good stuff. In contrast to this, guys, understand the wages of sin is what? Death. Wages. What are wages? Caleb Gold, do you ever get wages for anything? What? What do you get wages for? Yeah. What kind of work? Okay. Where do you work? Able Hobby? Do you get a check from them?
Yeah.
Okay. It has a certain amount. And so you got wages because of your work. You earned it, didn't you? Hey, guys, guess what we've earned? The wages of sin is death. What's the last half of that verse say? Somebody help me out. The wage of sin is death, but the what? Free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is a gift. None of us going to sit there and say we earned this. This is a gift. Okay? It comes from the Lord. And then He says, hey, nobody's going to snatch them out of my hand. Now, there's some people who take this verse and they say, once saved, always saved. They call it eternal security. Okay? Is this, let's see, verse 27. Maybe we should read 27 and 28 together again. Okay, let's just make sure we get this. All right? We'll read 27 through 29 in context. I'll read this here. John 10, 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So, there's a few things that are not just implied here, but very definitive. Again, Jesus' sheep following. What happens if you quit following?
You get lost.
You get lost. Now, if you follow Him, guess what the guarantee of the Good Shepherd is? No wolf is going to get you. Now, you quit hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, you quit listening and you quit following Him, you take your chances with whatever wolves are out there, don't you? So let's put this in the context and what Jesus says. So let's go to Romans chapter 8 really quickly. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Mikhail, would you get all those for me? Romans 8, 35 through 39.
Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer, through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
I want you to notice, verse 38 and 39, I'm convinced that. And he gives a whole list of things that can't do it. In verse 35, he asks about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. None of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. But notice the verse 35. What's the question? How's this question start? Who shall separate us? There's one who could separate you. Not you. The no, nothing. None of these dangers, none of this other stuff can do that. If we follow. And so, I don't want to call it eternal security, but it's internal security and it is eternal if you stay on the path. Okay? We got a big topic for 10 minutes, but we're gonna do our best here on this, all right? So Jesus said, let's go back to John 10. You guys help me out here. I want to ask you a question. In verse 28, nobody's going to snatch them out of what? My hand. Who's talking there? Jesus. So nobody's going to be able to snatch them out of Jesus' hand. But then in verse 29, nobody snatches them out of what? The Father's hand. Oh, and then verse 29. What does verse 29 say about the Father? My Father is what? My Father is greater than all. But then what's verse 30 say? Levi, you're not allowed to answer this. What's verse 30 say about the Father? Somebody besides Levi. Huh? I and the Father are one. Okay. Guys, this is one of the most complex topics of the Scripture. And I have 10 minutes to... Which is good, actually, because I'm not sure that more time helps this one, this resolution. But I do want you to think about this. From the creation account... When did God make the sun, moon, and stars, the light-bearing bodies? What day was that? I think it's day four, wasn't it? Day four. What was prior to day four? The firmament was there. But what was, in terms of, before these light-bearing bodies, there was still light, wasn't there? Because God said... Yeah, God said, let there be light. And then He separated the day from the night, the light from the darkness. But the point is that God created the sun, moon, and stars. He didn't need them. He brought them into existence by His Word. He existed, and light could exist prior to any light-bearing physical bodies that He created. Now, there's an important principle here. Lots of times people want to kind of mix evolution and creation. Science is real, and God put scientific laws into place. But understand something. God is greater than the scientific laws He put into place. If there's a law, there's a lawgiver. And the lawgiver is greater than the law. Who created logic? God created logic. There's a reason that mathematics works every time. Fibonacci sequence. Have to figure that it's all over the place, isn't it? God made this. God created logic. So, but God Himself is not limited to logic in our dimension. He's super logical. It is the way that we could say that. So, go with me to John chapter 1. Flip back a few chapters here. John 1, verse 1. Let's see. Caleb Gold, could I have you boom that one out for me? John 1, 1?
Yep. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay, and then would you also read verse 14 so we know who this Word is?
Yep. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
You know, the Greek for word here is logos. The implication, what God's saying is Jesus is the logical communication of the Father to us. And the Word became flesh, level that we could understand. God communicated Himself to us as a man. Thankfully, aren't you glad? I'm not just talking theory and, you know, the Greek gods, the Roman gods, and all those fallen gods and all that. No, here's a God, the one true living God. He came down, he lived a perfect life as a man to show us what this looks like at a level that anybody who looks up can understand. But how does this work? Because that same God in the flesh, we call that the incarnation, that same God in the flesh, isn't he hanging on the cross? And what's he saying? That's true. He says, Father, forgive them. What's he say to God about himself? Yes, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Father, forgive. Wait a second. He's the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You start going very far in this, your brain can get thrown for a little bit of a loop. There's a few things that are like that for me. Eternity is one, by the way. I can almost think forever forwards. I can't even begin to think forever backwards. My brain just... Levi?
I think to answer your question, even though he is man, he is the only begotten of God, and man begets man, and God begets God.
Okay, that's a... That's true, but Jesus also... So, there's two main points here that I just want to get quickly through. The Scripture says this... Very clearly, the Scripture speaks of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit as three beings. There's all sorts of verses. Here's a really good one. Encapsulates it in one. Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Josh, what version you got there?
King James.
Go for it. Isaiah 48, 16.
Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. Now, the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me.
Now, notice this. Me is capitalized, probably in your guys' Bibles, maybe not King James, but it's talking about Jesus. Now, the Lord God has sent me. Oh, who else has sent me? Oh, the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. We see all three of these in one verse. It's spoken to Him as seemingly distinct beings. But now, look, as long as we're in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. One of my favorites. Beautiful prophecy of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Levi, you want to read that?
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us.
Keep going.
And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
Okay, a child's going to be born. Who's going to be given? A son. Who would that be? Who's the child that's going to be born, the son that's going to be given? Jesus. But you know, this child has some interesting titles here. The second to the last one mentioned is the one of particular interest to me tonight. Eternal Father. What? The Son that's given is the Eternal Father? Yeah. That's what the Scripture says. When Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John 14 and he promises these guys that he's going to send a helper, he says, oh, by the way, you know him. Because he lives with you now and he will be in you. So the Scripture makes the point that there's three separate beings, but the Scripture makes the point that the three are one. You know what? I believe it. I don't completely understand it, but I believe it. I have a few analogies that I like to think about. Is it Riley?
Yeah.
Riley, when you think of water, what do you think about? What's the first picture that pops in your mind when I ask you water?
Wet.
Wet?
Yeah.
Okay. So some sort of liquid. Okay. I think of the first thing I thought of was a water bottle sitting here at my feet, but liquid. Okay, but can't water be in a liquid form? But can't water also be in a solid form? And can't water also be in a vapor form? It's still always the chemical composition, H2O, isn't it? Now, there's some really cool things about the water, too, the way, but I won't go into that. But it depends on its state. It depends on its temperature and pressure. Did you know you can go straight from water vapor to solid? You don't have to pass through liquid first. If you do the right things, you can go straight there. So, it's still an imperfect analogy. But the fact of the matter is that God is God. But He, when He comes in a certain state, we see Him. When Jesus was here, yes, He was the incarnation, but in one sense, He left His place in glory, didn't He? He humbled Himself and became a man. And when we see God here in the flesh, God in the flesh, in Jesus, as He was here in His earthly ministry, and as a boy, all the way up through, Jesus had to be all tempted in all things, just like we are. He who knew no sin became sin. When He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? There was a real separation that took place there. Now this is really complicated. But yet Jesus would say, when Jesus tells Thomas, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. And Thomas had asked the question, Lord, how do we know where You're going? And that's when Jesus answered that. And then Philip's like, Lord, show us the Father. Just show Him to us. And that's enough for us. Just give us a little sneak preview. Jesus says, have I been this long with you? And you guys still don't know Me? If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So the Scripture makes a point that the three are one. Guys, I don't completely understand this. But I completely believe it. Because the God who created logic is not captured in time and space like we are. If you... Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, in the end of that book, he actually gives some pretty good logical explanations. But I'll just have you guys think about this. Do you remember when you're a kid and you go from... You go from two-dimensional, you kind of see stuff in two-dimensional shit, and then you start figuring out 3D. I'll just make this more complicated. Take math. Okay? You got two-dimensional math problems that are a piece of cake. All of a sudden, you go 3D, you do the kind of stuff Mike W. does, where you got to start actually seeing stuff. I remember calculus, 3D calculus. As soon as it got, it took my brain a little bit to, like, you have to actually start seeing things, okay, in a whole nother dimension. And it's like all of a sudden, this thing that seems simple went... Think about the dimension of eternity where you're not stuck in time, you're not stuck in space. There's something... Tiff, you're super smart. I know you're super smart. And I think that you could probably figure this out with a little bit of teaching. But I bet if Mike W. tried to sit down with Tiff right now and explain to her some three-dimensional calculus... Pretty soon she'd be saying, hey, can I read a book? Guys, when God's God, and while we're still here, and some of this stuff's pretty tough to understand. But when you know He's God, you believe what He says. My dad just says it this way. He said, the Scripture says God, Jesus, and the Spirit are three. The Scripture says God, Jesus, and the Spirit are one. He says, they don't seem to have a problem with that. I don't either. Doesn't the Scripture talk about that there's things even that surpass our knowledge or our comprehension? We get to know some of those things, to know the love of God, which surpasses knowledge. Because when you're a true Christian and you've grown in Christ and you are being led by the Spirit and you talk to somebody else about what it means to be a Christian, you can lay out all the facts, but you can't explain that to them, what it means fully, can you? That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you can't understand the kingdom of God until you're born again. There's something there. And so, the long and the short of it is Jesus says, I and the Father are one. They were united in their teaching, they were united in their purpose, and they were united, they really are united, even as one being. So, if you don't understand it, ask the Lord when you get there. You probably won't need to ask once you're there. Any closing questions or comments you guys got?
I think it looks like we have in this realm five senses that we move around with, and God's beyond. He's like six and seven up to ten in the realm.
Yeah.
We're just not able to see that.
Yep. Yeah, very true. Levi?
Someone said to me, I don't know where they got it from, that in heaven there'll be different colors.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in the scriptures, but I do, you know, it might be a good way of kind of as best as we can explain from our sense. I don't think the scripture said, well, there's going to be new colors, but it's a good way of kind of saying, yeah, up there's going to be stuff we never seen before. The blind guy from John 9. Think about it. A man born blind from birth, and all of a sudden he can see. Hey, that happened to us when we're born again, but we're going to experience that fully. When we get there, a whole nother level. Heaven's worth it. Can we get there faster? Get some miracle grow.
I just asked for miracle grow, is all I ask.
Well, let's do it. Let's get the miracle grow this week, and then let's do it. Mikhail, one final one.
When we look back at the Old Testament, we look at the people and go, duh. Well, there's probably a time in the future, and when we reach eternal life, we'll look back and go, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah. Sometimes I read in the New Testament, Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith, and I say, how many times Jesus said that to me? So, let's be people of faith this week. Just a little. Goes a long ways, doesn't it? Let's be hearers and doers of the word. Put the word in and make a point. Hey, let's do this week. Just think about this. Okay. Hear the voice of the shepherd and follow. If you do that, you have absolute 100% security. Nobody's going to take you away. You're brand new. Kevin Simpson likes to say, you got a target on your back. The devil's coming after you. That's true. But you hear the voice of the shepherd, nobody can take you away. You hear and you follow. That's right.
It wasn't promised that you wouldn't come out of it unscathed.
Right.
It just said that you'd get through it.
Yeah, and nobody's going to snatch you out of his hand. Okay, Mike W., would you close us with prayer?
Father God, we, as your sheepfold, as your body, we are very lucky and fortunate and blessed to be able to hear your word and to have it at our disposal. And I pray that each one of us would fully take advantage of those opportunities that we have, because there might be some day soon that we might not have the access that we do today to your word, and that it may your laws might be not just written on the pages, but it would be written on our minds and on our hearts, and therefore it would transfer into our daily lives, into the actions, into our words and our deeds, and that we would be doers of the word. And unlike those that do not hear your voice and just say they know you and they know your will but don't act on it, let us, as the true sheep of the sheepfold, act upon it and be doers of the word. Let's follow Jesus, the anchor to our soul. It is in his name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You kids.